Hello, everyone. This is Glenda. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in our community, in our group. We love you so much. And we honor you today and just extend special blessings to all of you. I see that Nancy is here, and what a gift you're making of your day to be here, because you are the mother of many and the grandmother of more. So I am having a great celebration at your home.
We've had a nice morning, but they've all gone their separate ways now, so it's nice and quiet.
isn't that lovely?
Yes.
I won't tell them you said that.
Right? No, they know. They want the quiet too. They're like, you get to have that now. You kind of earn that. So you're.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And every one of them is either a mother or a father. So let's get started with our community today. There's really nothing more to say than Happy Mother's Day. And I know the rest will emerge from our conversation. So let's just do it. Okay.
All right. Yes. We have Elizabeth. Hi. We're so glad you're here. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. I'm not a mother, but thank you anyway.
Yes, okay.
I have two requests. Glenda, my really closest friend, John Johnson, went into cardiac arrest yesterday morning, and the doctors could not revive him, so he has passed on. I would just ask for a blessing for his soul to make an easy transition and that the angels come to take him home. It's just a bit of a shock. I spoke to him on Thursday and I wasn't expecting him to die.
I'm a bit
emotional, but I just ask for a blessing for John Johnson, for his soul and for him to be at peace now. His body had gone through a lot.
He is at peace now, and all the pain is gone, and he is in the presence of our Heavenly Father with the angels and his own loved ones who preceded him in passing. So for him, it's a big family reunion. For you and those who love him on this side of the rainbow, it's a loss, and our heart goes out to you. And our prayers go out to him, mainly not to relieve him from pain, because he has none, but to thank him for his life, for his service to others, and his love in being here and among us all, helping this side of the rainbow be a better place. There's a reason why you love him so much, and that's because he was a very, very fine person. So.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Glenda. Thank you so much.
And you be consoled that he gave you a great gift of mutual experience, and it will be with you for the rest of your life. You won't lose him. You know, you just will lose the continuity of experience on this side of the rainbow. That's all we ever lose. You know, I realized that when I lost my mom, that we're not going to be creating any more experiences on this side of the rainbow, but we're going to have an even better experience across the rainbow. So we don't lose anyone we ever love, ever. We just lose the type of experience that we're having with them.
Yes, exactly. I know that in my heart. I just, you know, just doing a human shock.
Of course.
Absolutely.
And your emotions don't like to deal with the feelings.
But,
you know, it's hard on us.
Yeah, I know exactly. You're saying everything exactly as I believe. And it's okay. It was just a real shock. I just spoke to him on Thursday, and then, you know, boom, I wasn't expecting this to happen so quickly. So I'm just getting used to it a bit, but I just want him to be, I know he's with his mother who passed last year along with, on the same day as his brother, so they're all together now, and it's a great family reunion, as you said.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And Elizabeth, think of the alternative. What if he was in a slow, painful passing? Oh, my God.
Yes.
I don't pray for anyone. I had to go through that with Larry, and it was hell for both of us.
Yes,
it
indeed.
Really was. It would. I would so much have preferred if I just walked into his bedroom one morning before the Alzheimer's set in, and he was gone.
Yeah.
It would have been a shock. I would have cried all day. No question about it. You know, the emotions that go with that are part of the consequence.
Yeah.
But, if I had known the alternative, I would pray for that. So let us have the courage to accept what God presents to us as our next experience and the experience we're now living through, that we can walk in the grace of God with faith and hold on to our love and look forward to a brighter tomorrow.
Amen. Thank you, Glenda.
Thank you so much.
You're
very welcome.
Thank you.
And spoken from experience.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people just recite platitudes when they don't know what to say about the passing of someone. Well, don't get me started. I've got a lot to say about it. So just be grateful. I only spent 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And chuckle with me that it's okay.
Yeah.
We all know on the level of our soul, it's okay.
Yes, indeed.
Take comfort, okay. Elizabeth, because I feel the whole community just holding you up because they can feel your heart in this. It's coming through your word and your tone, and everybody feels this for you too. So just kind of feel us all giving you a big hug, okay?
I do. I feel that that's why I'm on the call, because I needed all your love just right now, and that's what I need. I'm here alone, and I don't have anyone to hug physically, so I'm getting it from you, and that's why I'm on the call today, because I knew I'd get exactly that, Nancy. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate everybody who's on the call who's sending me love right now, because I can really feel it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We
love you.
Yes.
Okay, Glenda. We have...
Yeah.
Hi, Stormy.
Hi. Say, I have a special blessing. I have a special blessing from paradise. Our good friend, Glenda knows Wes as a chiropractor, and he's been my good friend for a very long time. I trained him as a courier at FedEx, so we go way back. But Wes has been invited to, as a chiropractor, shake a few bones, so to speak, for a whole household of women up in Paradise, Texas. And I just thought that was interesting, since Glenda has a little bit of footprint there.
Yes, I do, Stormy. And I appreciated when you called me yesterday to tell me about it. It brought back some lovely, lovely memories.
Yeah, just the interesting connections, especially that you and I have with this vantage point that we have, that is so unique, that we share with the whole world these unique vantage points that we all have. All of us on this blessing call have very unique advantage points to share with everybody. And so that's a blessing on this Mother's Day.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Stormy. And we all appreciate you. And you remind us, well, I think mostly because of the spiritual path you choose to walk on, that actually the higher we go in our spiritual work, the more we actually become unique and individual, the more we take on the original character that God created in us, the more we slip into the human, shall we say, the human description, the human definition of what we share as a family, a species, on that level, the more we become a category. We are cataloged by our DNA. We have so many of the same essential needs and essential challenges to overcome that we actually become cross-identified as groups. And then the cross-identity of groups can cause friction when we encounter a different group that has a different cross-identity. That's actually what's happening right now in our world, in our planet, that's bringing up so many racial issues that really should not be there, should never be there. And I'm a very, very astute, vigilant student of history. And I really don't know an era before this when there was more racial prejudice than there is now. And I think it's because we are being pushed into our human existential needs so deeply right now that we begin categorizing ourselves with those who are most similar to us. And then we begin conflicting with those who are not quite so similar to us, and forgetting that we all trace back to the same origin, all of us. Races were just an evolutionary variation as we adapted to different climates and continents and cultures and ways of life. And they're very recent creation in the history of human beings. We go back to one family. Even the Bible talks about when we had one language and God divided us into separate languages so we could go out and have different experiences and then come back and share. He didn't mean for us to come back and fight. So we've got some realization and overcoming to do in that regard. But this does happen as we get into the problematic stress of existential living. The more we rise up the ladder of becoming who we were actually created to be as individuals, the more we begin to see the love that we are, the more we begin to appreciate our unique talents, our unique orientation to life, our special value to humanity, and then we begin to become that and cultivate more of that in our presence in the world, our presence in life, you know. And so thanks, Stormy, for bringing that up. You always make a great contribution. And in June, we'll wish you a happy Father's Day.
Yeah, I do say I have the language thing covered in Stormy's music.
Yeah, you do. You do.
And
well, actually, may I say something, Stormy? I discovered when I was in graduate school, having to translate ancient books and ancient texts into something readable for me in English. At first, I had to hire a translator, but I couldn't afford it on my stipend, my fellowship stipend, except for just a few translations. And then all of a sudden, one day, I woke up with the ability to read in any language. I'm serious. Languages that no longer exist, such as Old Italian. There was an Old Latin, if you can believe it, before there was a Classical Latin. All of these ancient languages I could read in. Now, I couldn't write in them because I didn't have the skills that went along with linguistics, but something in my brain could recognize all of these languages, which tells me that that original feature we had, which is biblical, that we all originally spoke the same language, it's still there. It's just not activated. And I think this is why some people really don't have much trouble learning and becoming fluent in other modern languages, such as learning Spanish or French or Chinese or whatever. It's easy for them. And for other people, it's very hard, if perhaps not even possible. So that varies, but that access point is still there because it went away. After I no longer needed it, it went away. You give me a book in French today, and I'll go, well, let me scan it and run it by a translator. You know, it's still there, but it's not active now. It was active when I needed it. And I think in some ways that tells us about something even deeper related to the love that we are. I think we all have a deep capacity for empathy. And that empathy is actually feeling what others feel and feeling it as if we are there and it's we who are experiencing what they're experiencing. That is true empathy, just being there as the person. I think we all have that. But we're not activating it because we're actually afraid we might get pulled into all of their problems, and we can barely handle our problems. So we put up boundaries that don't allow us to be there. And some people have asked me, well, how can Christ be with all of us and be with one of us in particular, helping us through a hard night, and then be with everybody else? And I say it's a profound level of empathy that he actually has that within him. I think this and other abilities we're talking about are what are awakened when we cross over the rainbow bridge to the other side. We get back all of our true abilities that we were created with. And speaking of the other side, I want to bring the Holy Spirit into this as well. When the Holy Spirit, I need to end that. When the Holy Spirit appeared to the apostles and others gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, he put light on their heads, flames on their shoulders, and suddenly they could speak in any and all languages of the world. There were, because the day of Pentecost was what it is, it pulled people in from all the nearby countries to celebrate this day, because the day of Pentecost was it was an agricultural harvest when the fruits and the grains and all of the vegetables of the fields were blessed to have a plentiful harvest. So that's what Pentecost means, is blessed harvest. And so they all came, people from everywhere speaking dozens, if not hundreds, of different languages in the court outside the upper room. After the apostles were awakened to this true state of enlightenment, they could go out to the courtyard and preach to all these people of the nations, which is what they had been instructed to do. Now, some people interpret this as if they were given a rare and special language that no one else could speak, which is called speaking in tongues, because some people practice the conveyance of this rare and special language as a kind of gibberish that nobody else understands. Now, for them, it may be a true experience. I don't take it away from those who can experience this. But my firm belief, as a student of the Bible, as a student of Judeo-Christian history and heritage, is I really believe the linguistic gateway was opened so that the apostles could go to all nations and give the gospel, the good news, the truth, that they could speak all of these languages. They were given that open door. I know personally it exists. Someday I think I will publish my thesis that was written because I translated 21 pre-modern medieval languages, 21 epic poems from pre-Romantic languages in order to demonstrate the description of the saints and the description of the Holy Family that was portrayed on the steps of the cathedrals. You see, this is how ancient people all over Europe were all pretty much completely illiterate. They could neither read nor write, which is one of the reasons the church fathers didn't bother to translate the Bible into local languages, because nobody could read or write anyway. And the priest felt that it was a little bit closer to the original to keep it in Latin and Greek. So they kept it that way. Nobody could understand them. So what the priest did is they instructed the players of the dramatic plays that played out the conception and birth of Christ, for example, the crucifixion, for example, the turning of water into wine, for example, many of the plays that taught people what was in the gospel by playing it out in dramatic form. Okay, well, my job for my thesis was to translate those ancient dramas in order to describe the way the Holy Family and the saints and the angels were portrayed. And that was my job as an art historian. So even then, I was called into the service of the church long before I wore a mantle of the church. It seems to have been there for a long, long time. And I found that's when that linguistic gate was opened for me so that I could do that work. And then it was closed. And no longer could I, well, of course I have them written in English. And I just rediscovered my thesis papers in the garage a few days ago. And I thought, you know, Glenda, you probably should publish that someday. And it's already in the Library of Congress because all master theses are published and put in the Library of Congress. You could actually find it if you were really interested enough. Anybody could. But I think it probably needs to put into a reader-friendly form, a little more charming than a thesis, and put out there because it's really a fascinating principle. Because what they did, and I'll just give you the two-sentence story, what they did is they portrayed the Holy Family and the saints and the angels in contemporary clothing. Not in biblical clothing, in contemporary fashionable dress. They went all the way across the line to make Mary, Joseph, Jesus, and the saints all appealing to the public that would be watching the play. And nobody knew that for sure. Some people speculated it. Nobody knew it before. So anyway, I'll get back to what we're talking about here, and that is the universality of language. In your heart, there's a universality of language. And Yeshua taught that to me to pass on to you, the seven dimensions of the heart. Unity is a language that you don't have to have words for. You really don't. Love is a language you don't need words for. You can tell when you're in the presence of love. Life doesn't require a language to describe it. You know, you can tell when a plant is thriving or when it's about to fold over and drop its life. You can tell, and it doesn't need to scream at you. You know when you're in the presence of respect, okay? You know when someone's being honest with you. You know, we could go all the way down the line, but all of these seven dimensions of the heart are a universal language that really doesn't need words. You know, joy. Can't you tell joy when you feel it? You know, it really, happiness can be a little bit quieter, and it's not necessarily an emotion. It's not necessarily something that you communicate. It's just an inner pleasure. When life is working for you, you're happy. You know, it's about as simple as that. When you're making a positive progress in life, you're happy. When you're healthy, you're happy. But it usually is more of a private thing. You could get down to writing it out, the why, in words, but joy doesn't need words. You can tell. You can tell when a person is in a state of joy. Okay. We're going to get back to our conversation now, but Stormy, thank you for opening
up. I'll give you a phrase, angelic prose.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Stormy. Okay.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take another call now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Stormy. Thank you, Glenda. Wow, that was wonderful. Susan, hi.
Yes, I was on last week, but my God, you know, I was at my beach house and the cell service is horrendous, so I kind of couldn't get through. But I did want to say that after 2 weeks ago, I was really, really sick. I might even have had COVID. I didn't test. But within a few days, my chest cleared up. And I thought that was, you know, miraculous. And I certainly know that the love from the community, Glenda, Nancy, all of you, was a great contributor to that. And I wanted to bless you for it. And, you know, it's been a rough 2 weeks after I went from one crazy symptom to another, bringing up tons of fear, and but dealing with it. And, you know, I think I'm finally, after like maybe 3.5 or something weeks, finally, you know, feeling closer to myself. I don't think I ever... You know, I had like 2 weeks of diarrhea, I mean, to put it blunt, and I've had that before, but not where my body was depleted, and I couldn't even walk upstairs. That frightened the daylights out of me.
Yeah.
So I heard a voice say Pedialyte, and that's kind of, you know, what I did on my way home from Gandhi's Beach. I stopped in at Aldi's, and they had like, you know, an electrolyte solution, and I bought it, and you know, that was helping me, but it was, you know, I'm 1,000 times better, but it was very frightening to me to, you know, lose that sense of my body like that. And that's all I'll say about that, but blessings to everybody who, sent loads of prayers my way. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome, and you are so loved, Susan. We care about you, and we want you to be at your best always.
Thank you.
And
thank
I
you.
Would have said the same thing, Susan, Pedialyte, and lots of it. it's almost magical what it can do.
Right, right. Thank you. Love all of you. Love your stories, Glenda. So incredible. I always say, there's one language, and it's the language of the heart, and everyone understands it.
Mm-hmm. They do.
So, yeah. It's just a crazy world, and I wonder if some of this is, you know, people keeping down some of their prejudices and keeping it in wraps, and all of a sudden things happen in the last 8 years or so that kind of allow them to bring it to bubble to the surface. You know what I mean? And maybe that's the way it's supposed to, before we get rid of the pus and all the rest of the garbage. I don't know.
Well, I think that is part of it. I think it is part of it. And a lot of people really don't really know. Let's put it this way. I think a lot of people really enjoyed living in a community with similar people. As a matter of fact, I have to say, most people do like living and prefer living around similar people with similar points of view, different cultural traits. They like the same kinds of food, so they can say, hey, come over and get some of this. We're doing a barbecue today. Or my grandma made a pot of her soul food greens. Don't you want to come have some? You know, we as human beings, we've gotten used to that. And right now, we're in a state where we've just got to learn to mingle. We've got to learn to not just tolerate, but actually like being with a state of diversity, and find it interesting, fascinating, a trigger to our desire and curiosity, and wondering, well, hey, you know, maybe I might like some of that, you know? And it's not just it's not just tolerance, it's engaging. I'll give just a little simple example that didn't involve any prejudice at all. But I live in a neighborhood in the northeast of Fort Worth, where there are Hindu mosques and temples, because we have a lot of people here from the Middle East. They just happen to have graduated to this area. And actually, they all make great neighbors, because they keep their yards up so pretty, and they are so clean, so friendly, so polite. I mean, but they don't know whether people like me accept them or like them. Well, my landlord and his wife are, they're Hindu, and I have two doctors that are Hindu, and we've got great relationships. But anyway, when I came to look at the house for the first time, I met his wife, and she was very shy, and, you know, she had her head covered and was very, very polite, and she just walked me around the house, and she says, I think I should call my husband to come and talk to you more, because I think you're very interested. Well, so I talked to him, and we had a lovely conversation, and I proposed an offer to him, which was actually better than he was asking, because I needed to be able to do a business in this home. So and I needed to set it up my way. So he was very amenable to me that way, but he's always kept his distance, just been here if I need him. Otherwise, it's like, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And but one day, it was like about a month before Christmas, he sent me a text with a picture of a mosque. And he said, this is my temple. And if you're an artist, I'm wondering if you could help me find pictures of this online. I want to buy a large picture of this for my wife. And I said, well, of course I can. And I know the temple. I'm very familiar with it. And he wrote back, you do? How do you know? And I said, well, you know, it's my business to study all the religions. And I know exactly where you can find a picture of it. And I took the extra step, and I went, I mean, I really was glad to be part of this transaction. I called the company and I got an estimate on how much they would charge for a G. I said, what you want is a G clay because you don't want to put glass over it. You want it to be like a real original oil painting. So I got an estimate for it and he couldn't believe it. It was like, wow, that is amazing. So we developed a relationship that was even better because, you know, I was actually interested in them and they got a little bit more interested in me. And one day we had high winds come through here and almost blew down one of the tall cedars that are in the backyard. And it actually had to be taken out or propped up or redeemed somehow. And, he said, oh, I'll bring my father-in-law over. He wants to meet you. And can I bring my kids over? They want to see your cat. And I said, well, sure. Let's make a backyard party out of it. So you see, this is what I'm talking about. It's not enough to tolerate people because they don't know what that means. You got to take the extra step to be interested in them. And for me, I think that's what Yeshua meant when he said, walk the extra mile. You gotta, because people are scared sometimes. They're insecure often. They're inhibited much of the time and afraid to shy and afraid to say the first word. So, you know, if you could just smile, just take a, give yourself a little bit more room. It makes a difference, you know? And, well, that's about, I guess I'm getting carried away today, but I just am feeling very maternal about the human race. I'm picking up the empathy from all the mothers today.
And Glenda, it makes me think of what Yeshua said in Keys of Yeshua, that, you know, human consciousness is expanded through sharing. And it's like when we share, and the whole community context is just amazing how it grows. And you're not diminished by giving more of yourself, you know. It's beautiful when we think. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Susan, you took your nourishment from our community. And I think that's so wonderful. It is so well. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, thank you all. Love you all.
Love Thank you.
We love you too, Susan.
Thank you.
I promise. I promise to put a zipper on my mouth. Let's
no, it's wonderful. We love every word, Glenda. Thank you,
Absolutely.
Susan.
But don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Okay, Glenda, we have Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi, honey. Mary. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh,
okay.
Yes, and we have missed you. We have missed you, Mary.
Oh my gosh, I have missed you so much, and I'm gonna apologize. I'm a little shaky. I'm not feeling very well, but I wanted to tell you, I'm never far away. I'm always connecting with you in my heart, and I wanted to share an encounter that I had, and I'll try to be so brief. And I just deeply want to ask for such a blessing of gratitude on behalf of you, Glenda, who have been my spiritual mother and sister, I think since like 1998. And I want to thank you for the way that you mother us all. And I want to ask for a blessing on my mother, Kathleen, and I believe our beautiful sister, Aloha Sarah, her mother, Kathleen. And I also want to ask for a really just like on my knees blessing to the Blessed Mother herself. And the reason I've been away is I have been caring for my mother, who was in hospice in my home. but she, until the very last days, she had developed such profound dementia, and she was so afraid, and I could not console her, and I could not comfort her, and so I took her to the inpatient hospice house, but I stayed there with her, and I was I was practically in the bed with her. I was always holding her. They had to give her a drug called Versed, which is normally used before surgery. It kind of puts you in a twilight state, but they had to give that to her because she was so frightened. And I was having a moment where I was so deeply praying to Blessed Mother to help my mother. And I promise you guys, I had this experience where in my mind's eye, the Blessed Mother came and she said to me, "Daughter, move back." And so I released the body of my mother that I was holding, and I moved my chair back, and I just was in awe of Blessed Mother, and she spoke to me through impressions in my mind, and she turned towards the window where the lake was, and she waved her hand across the window, and she said, "I want you to allow your mother to now truly behold the kingdom, because it's all the kingdom, it's always the kingdom, and it's only the kingdom." And then she showed me that within her sacred heart, she had the capacity, the deep capacity, to embrace the everythingness that we all encounter. She embraced, she did not resist, she held space for, she held with loving compassion all the chaos, all the confusion, all the tumultuous seas, all of the experiences of pain that we endure, as well as the joy and the beauty and our own capacity for love and compassion. It was all held inside of her heart, and it was all part of the kingdom and part of the experience of incarnation. And she just showed all of that to me through a wave of her hand across the lake and the sky that then completely merged. There was no beginning and no end on that horizon. And then she turned towards my mother and she scooped her up like a child of God. And she was conveying to me that we are all her child, that we are all sacred, that we are all her own beloved child of God, as is her son, and it will always be that way. And then she turned towards the lake. I knew my mother was with her. I didn't even look back at my mother. I went and got the nurse, and I said to the nurse, "The Blessed Mother came," and she carried my mother home. And to this nurse's credit, she believed me, and she wrote that down in my mom's chart. And then later she said, "Mary, the Blessed Mother hasn't left hospice house. It's like she still is walking these halls and lifting up a very weary staff. She is lifting up and reminding us all that everything we do is sacred, and that even our hardest moments are within the kingdom, that it is always and only the kingdom." Mm-hmm. And so I just give you all that just to remember that we are so held in love, even in our despair and confusion, and there's no such thing as anyone dying alone. I want to convey that too. I know that it was a very sacred experience for me, but sometimes people are not able to be at the bedside, and I assure you all, no one leaves this earth alone. There's no such thing, and we are blessed beyond measure, even in our tumultuous times like we have now. And so I just thank God for all my mothers, for you, Glenda, for my mother, and for Yeshua sharing his mother. You know, she had to stay here and love us all and forgive us all and grow her heart to the size of such enduring, non-resistant, all-encompassing compassion.
Absolutely.
And so that's what I wish to bless this community with and give my deepest thanks for. And I'm sorry I talked so long.
No.
And that's it.
It's beautiful, Mary. Thank you so much for sharing this precious moment.
Yeah.
What a gift for you.
Yeah. Well, I love you all, and I won't stay. I never have been away, but I'm happy to be back on the call and hearing all these beautiful members of my family again. So God bless you all, and
yeah,
I'll let someone else have a chance to talk.
Yeah. So much happiness to you, Mary, and I know you have grown the size of a mountain from going through all of this. So just rest now.
Okay. All right. God bless you all. I love you.
Rest and heal and perfect everything that you've received.
Okay. Okay. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye. Thank you, Mary. That was just so profound and beautiful. Thank
it
you
was.
So much.
I'm so glad you have that recording.
Me too. It's like those profound experiences are just, they bless us all. So thank you so much for sharing. Glenda, we have Christopher's line open.
Hey, everybody. I'm always astounded by the amount of resonance that I feel and hear when we come together. So just thank you to everybody who shared today. Mary, that was amazing. I needed to hear that. Okay, and Glenda and Nancy, thank you both for being mothers to all of us. I mean, I really feel that when I come here. I feel so nurtured and so held. I wanted to let everyone know, since I've been talking about it for like 6 months or whatever, more, I finished my thesis. I graduated yesterday from my master's degree program. And so I feel celebratory. I also feel, you probably can relate, I feel the momentum still alive in me, so sometimes I forget I'm actually done.
Mm-hmm.
Still so much a part of me, right? I can think about it every morning when I wake up. And so just blessings for this transition and this rite of passage. Some of my friends and collaborators in the community were putting together a rite of passage next week on the new moon. And just a blessing for all of us. I feel like that level of community is missing for so many people, and how nourishing it is, how much our soul needs this kind of community and being held in these kind of spaces of honoring and acknowledging our transitions, whatever they are. So I want to thank this community for holding me in that way. Y'all made it into my acknowledgments page of my thesis paper. I wouldn't have been able to get here without you. I really felt you, Glenda, especially. Some of the reflections you gave me along the way were so helpful because you've been through it. And also, I just wanted to say thank you for everything you shared about your thesis today. You're like, I'm going to zipper my mouth. I'm like, thank God you didn't, because things you shared today were so resonant and insightful and exhilarating to hear. And I hope that you do publish that. I would love to read it, and I would also love to help you if you want any help making it into a reader-friendly version. I feel like the content that you describe is so significantly, it's not just the history, it's the cultural phenomenon that we're experiencing of the vision that you're talking about. The time when they started to depict Christ and the saints in a Eurocentric way, there's something really important about that story because of how much it's creating division amongst people now. And there's something so liberating about recognizing that human beings, through their arts, their imaginations, their words, their rewriting of memory, can have their own intimate relationship with God and Christ and the saints.
Exactly. And that was what was needed then, because Christianity was held so formally only in the hands of the priest and the bishop and the pope, you know, so formally, you might say apart from the congregation. And this brought it into their reality. It also, demonstrated another point that, I could probably make art history by getting this published, really. And that is that actually the Renaissance started in France. Didn't start in Italy. France was actually the richest country at that time because they had brought in the greatest amount of not just wealth and marketable items, but also cultural infusion from the Crusades. And they had brought in technology, cultural ideas, practices, elevations of life and lifestyle, and trade, which made them actually the wealthiest country. And at that time, just before the Renaissance was born, Italy was in a deep depression. And I'm talking about like the Great Depression in the United States. It was in a deep depression, not able to in any way finance what it's been historically recorded as creating this Renaissance. In fact, they invested in the art in order to create edifices of confidence that would build the people into a more enlightened and inspired state of existence. But for even the two centuries during the Italian Renaissance, all of the city-states were at war. This was not a peaceful time. But it was in France, and everything that I translated from all of these documents demonstrates the quality of life that was there and the fact that actually the Renaissance was born there and the ideas migrated into Italy. Okay, I promise I would keep a zipper on my mouth. I'm sorry.
Thank you so much, Glenda.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, congratulations.
Yeah, we are so proud of you, so hopeful for you, and wish you just many leaps up the mountain to where you're destined to be.
Oh, thank you so much, Glenda. Much love to everybody, and thanks for being this amazing community anchor rock for me. I've been coming almost every week for almost 2 years. No.
I know.
3 years
now. I know,
now.
And we love
So, bless everybody on this Mother's
we're
Day.
We're getting close to our end time, Christopher, so we shouldn't chit-chat. Let's open the line to somebody else who needs a blessing.
Okay.
Love to you. Okay. Let's see. We have, hi, Joanna. Is it Joanna?
Hi there. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Lots of love to all of our mothers. But I just have a couple of people who need help. One of them is Robert Ayers, who's just had one thing after another going on with that friend, physically, but also in other ways. Anyway, my sister, Priscilla Botcher, she is,
okay,
has been ill for a long time and is basically, looking worse. That's all I'll say. And so I just would like to have them have special, prayers. And thank you all for being there for us all. Thank you.
You are so welcome. And blessings to your loved ones.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joanna. We've got Robert and Priscilla. We sure do. Okay. I'm so glad you called to let us know. Let's see. I think 541, is it? Hello.
It's Tina.
Tina. Hi, Tina.
Hi. So nice to hear you all. Happy Mother's Day.
And to you.
Oh, it's so good. I came on a little late, but it almost made me speechless. I heard Mary's sharing, and before that, I heard Glenda sharing about her landlords, and it just touched me all so deep, and I'm just so agreeing with, you know, the extra mile, what is it, to walk the extra mile with the people, those extra minutes you have, and just a little more, being more present and curious, and it makes all the difference in life. I really feel like all of a sudden, oh, there you have a connection, and a little connection, and it just opens the heart, and it just goes so far. And yeah, I'm so touched. And I love what Christopher said, like you and Glenda, like being like mothers to us too. I feel that too. And I've been feeling your love for, I guess, 20 years or so by now soon as well. And, and I'm just really, really touched. And I wanted to say, I don't even remember what I wanted to say. It wasn't so important. But I wanted to ask, a blessing just to have more compassion and in life general. And yeah, and for my work, I'm getting to work with animals now. I'm so happy I get to work with horses, something I wanted to do for a long time. And other animals too, and take care of some birds too. And I'm working on getting communicating with the animals more, and I would ask for a blessing with that. And yeah, and just to be able to open my heart more and have my boundaries at the same time. I had a little bit of a conflict with my boundaries, having kind of not being honored, and I was a little bit overreacting, and I just wish I could just be there and set my boundaries but not overreact, and just, you know, to be loving always. So that's just my request. And many blessings to all in the animal kingdom. I feel so strongly right now for the animal kingdom and also for the earth. So I just want to include her in the blessing.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh. A wonderful blessing for all of us to open our hearts more and be more compassionate. Thank you so much. We love you, Tina.
Thank you. I love you so much, too.
We love you, Tina. And thank you for being with us and holding us in your heart.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, one more thing. Oh, no, never mind. Sorry.
Are you good? Are you sure?
I just wanted to ask for an extra blessing for my dog, Rosie.
Yes,
her safety.
Of course.
She's been tracked
Rosie?
By a custodian. Rosie, yes.
Okay. Well, my Vinny's underneath the bed. He's right here with us, always on the call, scratching at the door, making sure he can get in. So We love our doggies. They're so special. Thank you. Okay, Glenda, we have, hi, Nancy, you're on the call.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you. I send love to you and Glenda and mothers and fathers all over the world who are caring for their children. I have a special blessing to ask, and it's related to my nephew's little girl, Juniper Jane. She finally made it to 4 pounds, and this past week she was able to go home with her parents. So now they're all experiencing something brand new and different, and they're experiencing it 24/7. So, you know what new babies are like. They don't really pay attention to the clock. And she's doing really, really well. But I would like to ask for a blessing for new mothers and babies, especially. And for the fathers that are helping to care for those new little ones right now. So that's my blessing request for the day. And also a little bit of celebration that she was able to go home. Thank you, God.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So,
and that's all. That's all. I don't want to take any more time, but I did want to request that blessing. Thank you.
We are so glad to hear the news.
Isn't it fun?
We've been praying for her.
Oh, yeah.
Just hearing the news of blessings is as wonderful as asking for them.
Yes, I just feel so grateful that I can call and ask for the blessings, because they always come, ask and you receive, and I'm so grateful for that.
So
thank everybody who helped to bring Juniper Jane home and into the world safely. It's just been wonderful.
I love that name.
I do too. But anyway, it's a good Mother's Day blessing. I just think of all those people with all those new babies in all kinds of different situations. So bless them all.
Well, thank you, Nancy, because that's inspiring to me. I told everyone last week about my niece's little boy, Matthew, who was 12 inches long and a pound 10 ounces. And you know, and what he's got to come through to get to where Juniper is now. We know what's happening, and he's making strides. But thank you for the inspiration and just the confirmation of all the miracles.
Oh, yes. We surround that little boy with just the most beautiful, loving light. We see him thriving.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, makes me cry.
Yeah, me too. I started crying when Mary was speaking. Just for happy. Cry for happy. Mm-hmm. And I haven't stopped yet.
Her experience was just saintly. It was really saintly. That's what you would expect to read in the notebook of a saint, like Saint Bernadette.
Yes. God bless her for being open to receiving. God bless her. Yeah.
And so perfect for Mother's Day.
It was just wonderful. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Nancy. We love you so much. And now we have Sarah. Hi. How are you?
Hello, beloved Glenda and Nancy, and to this entire community. I send my love. This is Sarah. I just want to ask for a special blessing that we honor the Divine Mother in each and every child of God, that we embody that Mama Bear protection, compassion, kindness, and love. I want to just speak my beloved grandmother's names, Frances, Ruth, and my beloved Mama Kathleen in heaven. Thank you, Mary, for saying my mom's name, and I will always remember your mama, Kathleen. And I just want to ask for a special blessing for my cousin, Megan, and for all who struggle and suffer with addiction. I want to ask Yeshua a special uplifting to their spirits for Megan and for all. Thank you.
We love you, and we bless all of your loved ones.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Always thinking of your beautiful family. Gosh, it's wonderful.
Thank
and
you.
You're a good part of our family, too. We just feel the
that's
extension.
That's right.
But, you know? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you're having a wonderful day, wherever you are.
Thank you. I am.
Thank you, Sarah. We love you. And Glenda, we are finished with callers. If there's anyone else that has a last minute thing or a blessing.
I do. Yes, I want to get us ready for the blessing, but actually I want to talk about a blessing that Yeshua and I are bringing to all of you in this physical world. It's happening next week. We have remastered the original Conversations with Jesus. I know a lot of you have loved it, and actually many, many people found it to be the favorite thing we ever published and put out because it was so immediate and so direct. But some of the recording wasn't quite so flawless in its quality. The content was on the moon, but the recording, you know, it was on amateur recording equipment. We had no idea this would be published. In fact, I didn't even bring recording equipment to the event because I thought, well, I'm just going to be telling some of the things we talked about. I'm going to be telling the story. It'll just be good for me to open up, and then I'll see where it goes from here. That was my idea when I arrived. I did not expect so many people to show up. I had a very large gallery. The total space was about 5,000 square feet, and most of it was open gallery where we could have seating. Well, we didn't have enough room for everybody that showed up, and one of my assistants went to Best Buy that was open on that, I believe it was Saturday night, and bought speakers for the parking lot, and the parking lot was filled. I had no idea. So I came there with the notes that would be appropriate to opening the recording, and the rest is history. But through the years, they have circulated around the planet, and I think in many ways they have been one of the most popular ways of introducing new people to this message. Because for some people, the book is a little daunting. And for other people, to show them the painting, well, how does she know he looks that way? You know, a lot of things can strike up arguments. But almost everybody who's a Christian has some kind of testimonial to make about how they developed their relationship with Christ. And so these conversations did not stimulate immediate and unconscious bias, if you will, to listen to them with doubt or judgment. People just listened to them with their heart open. They realized my heart was open, and I was just being vulnerable talking about how I got to know Christ and what he told me, what he said. So they have been they've just been cherished by many people. And what's happened over the years, because that was 27 years ago, technology has changed a lot. And also people have listened so many times that a lot of people only have
a half a set left, or maybe just two or three good CDs left, and what do you do with it? And eventually they're going to wear out those. So we took a look at where the technology is today, and I was shocked to find that most of the new cars, and by new, I mean in the last 10 years, do not have CD players anymore. And a lot of people like to listen to these on their way to work. So CDs were becoming obsolete. I didn't realize that because I don't keep up with all these things, you know. It's not my thing. And I talked to my to Tim, our webmaster, and said, Tim, what can we do about this? And he said, well, I really recommend that we do downloads, that we have downloads available of each one of them, and that way people can buy the whole set or just buy each one, whichever one they want to listen to. And, you know, at $5 a piece, almost anybody can pick one, pick and choose and cherry pick and say, oh, I think I'll listen to this one today, and download them to their computer and keep them. Well, in the meantime, while I was doing that, I was ordering some more CDs because we completely were out of CDs, and I was a little reluctant to buy 100 of each, which is the minimum that they like to have in replicating CDs. And so my company said, Glenda, why don't you just put these on a USB stick? And all of them, we can remaster them as we put them on. He said, most of the CD recordings from back in this vintage were bad, and we can upgrade them, put them all on a CD stick. And you can sell the CD stick for, you know, with all 14 recordings for under $50. And I said, really? I said, can you make me one so I can see how good it is? Well, my friends, I couldn't believe it. It was like I was listening to my voice of 26 years ago, 27 years ago. No static, no creaking noises, no voice breaks. It was smooth as honey on toast. And I could not believe it. It's like it just took 26 years off of my life. I said, yes, we've got to do this. So we're going to make Conversations with Jesus remastered available as the USB stick with all 14 on it, which almost every new automobile in the last 10, 20 years has a USB port where you can put, you know, just if nothing else, for charging up your phone. They all have USB ports now, and that's all you need. For the USB stick, and then for playing, well, it'll either play into your automobile speakers, or you get if you have earbuds, you just Bluetooth into the stick, and you've got it with you. So our technology is upgraded. The message will live on, which I feel so gratified that we're not losing that message, because that was the original inspiration that captured the hearts of so many people and had people waiting for the book, which came out, you know, several years later. But even then, the CDs, the tapes and the CDs, the recorded message was what was most played in churches. It was what was most played in study groups because, you know, it becomes burdensome to get everybody coordinated on reading pages. You play from a CD, everybody hears it at the same time, and then you go back through and you stop where people want to ask questions. So study groups were built around it. Congregations listened to it, and hearts were opened up by listening to it and sharing with other people. So it's back. Conversations with Jesus is back, and it's going to be extremely affordable. So this is what I'm going to be talking about for weeks, because it will change lives. It will open hearts, and it will do great work in the world. And almost anybody can afford at least some part of it. You know, one download, $5.
A great gift for people, too. I mean, gosh, you know?
Absolutely. So it's giftable, and I'm designing the little presentation box for the USB stick, and, it's just, and we're also going to have the CDs, because I invested enough money in the USB sticks, they agreed to take a smaller order for CDs. So I was able to get the CDs back in stock. Not quite yet, but by the end of next week, we'll have them. So I think this is great news. And I just thank Yeshua for helping us find the right way to get this message back to the world.
I'll tell you, Glenda, if I could share it, it really is great news, because Gary and I, back in 96, we were at one of those talks that you gave that was probably being recorded on that kind of equipment you're talking about. And we were like, we bought a little three-pack cassettes of the One Spirit, yeah, the Sacred Heart, and the Adamantine Particles. And I got to tell you, we listened and studied and absorbed and took into our heart all that we could for like months. And we were just blown away. And, you know, it was way before the book. And I think for me, having heard the words first, you know, it was better than just reading it first. And I can't recommend it enough to everybody, because those conversations are just, they're life transforming, they're heart transforming. It's just everything you're saying,
really,
you know,
really on
soon. Yeah. So.
And now to make it affordable and beautiful, I mean, and also if you break one, you can replace it. You know, people had broken sets, you know, maybe one missing, but I couldn't supply it because all I could do was order these in sets. So now we're fluid, we're flexible, and it's going to live forever on, which
great news.
Great. Great.
Yeah. Thank you. Gosh, everybody, we're really blessed by this, so. Take advantage. I know I'm going to.
You'll be hearing the Grand Slam announcement next week. I figure by the end of next week, we'll have it ready to go. We're close.
Yeah.
Very, very, very close now. So I had to wait till we were almost there, but we are. Okay, let's all get ready for His blessing right now. His blessing to you right now. He's brought many blessings to the world, which we have inherited or which we personally received over the course of our life. But let's get ready for the one right now, because right now is where we live, and right now is the beginning of tomorrow. So I just want you to shake out, get relaxed, stand up if you need to just bend, stretch, and shake a little bit, and especially move your shoulders around, because we get tight in our shoulders when we're sitting. Turn your neck side to side. Take a couple of really deep breaths, and then exhale and let go of your stress. Let go of any contest you have with life or any situation you have with life. Let's just get ready to receive. Because you have no idea what may be coming your way. Undoubtedly, He will hear your prayers, but He may have even more to offer, because He's the kind of guy that gives what you need and then tops it off with a little more. So that's what I've experienced through my years with Him, is that He doesn't just stop at what you ask for. That's just the beginning. Because He can't wait to give you everything you need. He doesn't give you more than you can handle, but He'll give you more than you ask for. Because if you're like me, I hold back in asking, because at the end of a prayer, I think, well, did I ask too much? My friends, you can't ask too much for God. You really can't. But he will stop at what you can handle. So ask your heart out. Just ask with everything in your heart. I'm going to offer my prayer to Yeshua, and then the blessing givers will join me. This blessing and all of these blessings are conveyed by the Holy Spirit coming through to you and through you energetically, no less than he appeared and conveyed through the apostles in the upper room. And just be open to receive. Don't try to outthink it. Don't even stop the flow. Just let it flow. You'll catch on later on. It will all come to you as you get through the day or the week or the days ahead as the blessing becomes more relevant to your next discovery. So let us just be quiet in a peaceful state of mind. And I will offer my prayer to Yeshua. Son of God, Lord of life, thank you for being with us. And we know you are with us always. But thank you also for respecting our boundaries in life to discover and learn as we need to, waiting for us to ask for your help. We're asking today. We're asking for our loved ones. We're asking for the world, for the precious animal kingdom. We're asking for the children. We're asking for those who are leaving this world and passing over. We're asking for those who are struggling in life to try to find meaning and hope and a way to continue. We're asking for all of those who are just a little too shy or insecure to ask, because they think, well, why would he help me? I'm an unworthy person. Help them to overcome this state of insufficiency, to know that at the core of their being, God dwells and is in them, and they too are precious, most worthy of a blessing, of many blessings. We surrender now to your love. We surrender to the grace of our Heavenly Father and infinite wisdom and endowments of blessing of the Holy Spirit, and ask all of these things in your name. Amen. Everyone, begin your prayer. Be relaxed. Receive. And blessing givers, will you stand and join me in delivering the energy of the blessing. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you need to further receive. So, go lie down, if you're not already, and be really quiet. Don't run thoughts through your mind. Don't even continue your prayer. Just be quiet. Allow God to do the talking. You listen. Be the whiteboard on which He writes. Receive, be quiet, and then just get up and go on with your day. The blessings will show up. They've been given, and they will show up in their timing. I hope you have a wonderful week with many blessings that show up for you to see. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.